All right, my name is, for those of you who don't know, it's actually Stephen Zachary Wygand. I do go by my middle name, except at work. For some reason, I decided to go by Stephen there, but you could call me Zach. Just a little background on where I am and how I ended up getting here. Originally from New York. I grew up in two different towns. First, I lived in Carmel, New York. That's where I got saved at my grandfather's church. And then they moved away, and then my family decided to move, and we moved to another town in which we attended Freedom Road Bible Church, and that's really where I came to really grow with the Lord, and that's how things got me involved with this one place called Word of Life. And we did things like snow camp and went up and visited, and they also have a college up there. That's where I decided I'll go for a year of school there. After that, I did community college for a while, and then my grandfather, who was the pastor of the first church I went to, invited me to come live with them because there was this aeronautic program down there to become an aircraft mechanic. And so I liked airplanes, so I was like, you know, it sounds like a great idea. So I lived with them for almost 2 years, and then before school was out, we already had a representative come down from, I guess, HACO, who offered a jobs for a lot of the students there. So I took them up on that offer, and that's how I ended up here. And I went to Bethany in Conway. Sorry, I didn't say where I went when I went to school. And that's how I kind of found out about you guys. I guess there's some connection between Mountaintop, the Brethren, and a whole bunch of other just people here. So it was a great and wonderful thing to meet all you guys and just to see another church that's very similar but different also, and it's just an awesome blessing. So if you don't mind, I'll pray real quick. Dear Lord, I thank you for today. I want to thank you for the opportunity you have given me. Please give me the words to say, and please hide me behind your cross. And I thank you, and in your name, amen. So one of the subjects that kind of came up on my mind was I watched a YouTube video. I don't know if anybody knows about the YouTube channel called Blimey Cow. It's a silly YouTube channel that they make videos about, you know, particularly based on Christian stuff. You know, I believe that they are believers that make it, but, you know, they make it in fun of themselves. And they used one video that was called The God Card. So, and the God card is, when a difficult situation surfaces and a decision must be made, we pull out the God card. The God card is like a wild card in Uno, a get-out-of-jail-free card in Monopoly, or an ace in most card games. It's when you're in a situation and you don't want to give an honest answer. For example, a member of the congregation asks to see if you could volunteer or become part of this ministry. Instead of speaking the truth to that member that you're either scared, don't feel qualified, or simply that you're working that day of the week, that you pulled the God card, saying, I don't think God is calling me to that ministry. Another example, which was used in that YouTube video that I mentioned, was it was focused on teens and the dating scene, is that you are dating someone, and now you find that person to be annoying. Now you want to break up with that person. Instead of telling them how you really feel, you pull out the God card saying, I don't think God wants us to be together. As a believer, we like to use the phrases, God told me to, or I think God wants me to. God becomes our excuse. We start to use God's will to get what we want, taking the easy way out. Another easy way out is using our abilities or inabilities as an excuse not to serve God. Moses used this as an excuse. He just didn't necessarily use the God card. If you'd like to turn with me to Exodus 4, starting in verse 10. But Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in past or since you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and tongue. Then the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. But he said, O my Lord, please send someone else. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do." Looking back at that first example of a member of the congregation coming up and asking for a volunteer or someone to help out with a particular ministry, instead of pulling out that God card, how about you just ask God for guidance first? And, you know, it could be something... Sometimes it could seem like God's not calling you to this. And when you look at the that passage right there, you can see that Moses says that he can't speak well. I went to a play, probably some of you might have seen it, at the Millennial Theater for Sight and Sounds. And they did a whole play about Moses. And in that production, they had Moses have a speech impediment. So, and it seems like that's probably the most accurate thing to say that Moses did, and that's why he needed his brother Aaron to speak. So Moses had that excuse. It seemed like he couldn't get up in front of Pharaoh and be able to argue or to be able to say what God wants him to say. But instead, God said, "Well, here's your brother Aaron. I mean, here's another brother that could help you speak, you know." And sometimes we try to find an excuse when, in reality, if someone comes up to us and says, "Well, I don't think I'm ready to do that," or "I can't do that," how about you say, "Well, let's pray about it. Let's seek God for wisdom." In Philippians 4, 12 to 13, "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I could do all things through him who strengthens me." Let the Holy Spirit work. Let's not use an excuse of, "I don't have this" or "I don't have that," but how about let's pull up alongside of a brother and help him. When a minister, like one of the great examples that I can show you in my life is, there was a need at Bethany Bible Chapel in Conway when I lived there. There was no group specifically towards college students or young adults. So getting there alone, I know I probably could not have done it alone, but God provided this wonderful guy named Duncan Perry. And some of you might know him. He was up a mountaintop, but he's really an outstanding guy, and he's really the one that kind of pushed me to say, "Hey, how about we'll start this college group together?" And we came alongside each other with the one focus of God on our mind, and we started a college group. And it didn't come easy. Honestly, for like 2.5 months, it was just me and him in a room. We'd get like a whole bunch of tacos, and we would sit there and eat, and we'd always have leftovers. A whole pizza, and then, you know... But then God really started working, and I think it was just timing, honestly, because there was school going on, so a lot of our age guys weren't there. But then once summer came around, that's when it really started picking up. So how to know if you're using the God card or truthfully trying to abide in God's will? In Proverbs 16:9 says, "The heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps." We see here that man plans his ways, as in it's okay to have a direction you want to go, something you like, a skill you have, and even material things you have. Then God will establish his steps to grow you. If it is not his will, he will close that door. And you don't become equipped to take on a skill in ministry overnight, but takes time and practice. It could also take weeks or months, just like my example of that college group. And sometimes you don't see any fruit either. So for the longest time, those one or two people that would show up besides me and Duncan, you know, they're churchgoers. It seems like, you know, we didn't have a way to push them to do more. And sometimes I still haven't seen any fruit from those first few people that came in. But then once we started to get it going, then you could see some fruit. There was fellowship going on. You could see people just having encouragement. So God's will may not come at you with writings in the sky or Bible verses that specifically say, "Zachary, you must give a devotional this Wednesday." Instead, God sent Mark to ask me if I could. To sum it up, don't use God as your excuse, but instead pray and ask God for guidance. Then tell the truth and why you can or can't. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. If you are not sure if you're in God's will, check and see what your abilities have, then let God establish his steps. It may take time to see fruit. So, and that's kind of what I have for you guys. It's short and simple. I didn't have a ton, a whole lot, but I hope that it blessed you tonight. So, if I could have Jonathan, would you like to close us?